You're listening to Vatican Radio. Millionaire Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates, former Archbishop of Canterbury Rowan Williams, and a host of other well-known names are leading tens of thousands of people in London's Hyde Park on Saturday in a campaign to help end global hunger. The Enough Food for Everyone If campaign is calling on leaders of the world's wealthiest G8 nations to take concrete steps to stamp out hunger and child malnutrition. Over 200 charities and organisations are taking part in the event, which hopes to be the largest mobilisation against inequality since the Make Poverty History March in Edinburgh in 2005. Ahead of the rally, thousands of Christian campaigners are taking part in an ecumenical prayer service in Westminster Central Hall, where Archbishop Vincent Nichols is preaching on the specific vision that the gospel of Christ brings to the fight against poverty and injustice.
When we acknowledge our poverty before God and our dependence on his mercy, then we begin to see the materially poor as our brothers and sisters, and not simply as distant people who might be deserving of my charity.
In his homily, Archbishop Nichols stresses there is no shortage of food for the hungry if we are all willing to make changes and pay the costs for a fairer distribution of goods and resources. Earlier in the day, I spoke to Archbishop Nichols and asked him about the importance of the Christian presence at this high-profile event.
Well, it's important for two reasons. One, because this is a campaign that wants to bring together all the different voices who are concerned about the state of the hungry in the world. And secondly, it's important because the Christian voice is a distinctive one and makes its own distinctive contribution. And that, of course, is not just to do with the depth of motivation which a Christian brings, but it's also to do with the vision, in a way summed up in Pope Francis' phrase, in the poor we touch the flesh of Christ.
Some would say that the goals of this campaign are quite idealistic, even utopian, but you don't agree with that, do you?
Well, I think what's important is that the goals can be used to bring support to, for example, the British government, which has already laid out some of its strategy for this G8 summit, and some of that strategy does stand in the same street as some of the goals of the campaign. So, for example, one of the goals of the campaign is there would be much greater transparency in the action of governments and major corporations, especially in those corporations which are extracting natural resources from countries. And the British government has already taken a strong position on that with an initiative that's called the Extractive Industries Transparency Initiative. And there are other points on tax evasion and aggressive tax avoidance, which, again, the government is committed to. So I think there is a sufficient overlap of hopes that this campaign can strengthen the government's arm. And at the end of the day, that's a very proper thing for a popular campaign to seek to do.
We've also heard Pope Francis speaking out very strongly about economic issues on a global level. Do you think his words in this particular context may also have an impact? Do you think it may make the world leaders sit up and listen perhaps a little bit more?
Yes, I do. I really do. And for example, his recent comments about the wrongness of wasting food. I mean, that is a very, very relevant issue. You know that almost half of the food produced in the United Kingdom, the USA and Europe is wasted at some point in the food chain. And even half of that waste would feed the hungry of the world. Nearly 20% of food that people take home in this country ends up being thrown away. So, I mean, these in a way are startling facts. And it does mean that action to alleviate the hunger of the world should start in our own homes.
You talk, don't you, about corporate and personal responsibility. Which do you think is perhaps the hardest challenge, the hardest nut to crack, if you like?
Well, I think they're both quite tough, actually. I think in some ways, corporate responsibility is much more in the headlines. And I think many people involved in corporate activity now know that there is a mistrust of corporate activity, and they have to do something to win public trust again. I think individual or personal action is obviously much more out of sight, and that's a matter for our consciences. And sometimes personal conscience can be very elastic.
You talk about Pope Francis as a man of startling words and actions. Do you think that his particular commitment to the poor, his emphasis on those at the margins, will make a big difference to the work of aid organisations, whether faith-based or not?
Well, there's no doubt that Pope Francis has still captured the attention of the world and the attention of the world's media. And I think everybody is still very attentive to what he says and does. And therefore, this insistence on the need, as it were, to create of the world, not just a world that is of the poor, but for the poor, in the same way about he speaks about the church. I think his commitment to that does indeed make an impact on everyone, certainly participating in this rally, but I think also on leadership too.
In terms of the faith groups involved in this rally, it's very much a broad Christian network of groups, and this is very much an ecumenical service that you're preaching at. Do you think that this kind of action can strengthen in some way ecumenical commitments in the UK?
Oh, I think it does. There's no doubt about that. Whether it's parishes working in response to the poverty that is in their midst, most of that work is done ecumenically and sometimes in an interreligious basis as well. And there's nothing unusual or nothing startling about the fact that this time of prayer and reflection is a broad-based Christian ecumenical initiative. That for us is quite normal. What I want to emphasize is that this Christian voice needs to be heard more distinctively when we join the over 200 groups that will be gathering in Hyde Park for the bigger rally.
That particular Christian contribution, as you said at the beginning, should be quite distinctive. How would you perhaps sum up, if you like, that vision which differentiates it from those of other people of goodwill working on this same cause?
Well, again, I would take a lead from some of the things that Pope Francis has said, and that is when we acknowledge our poverty before God and our dependence on his mercy, then we begin to see the materially poor as our brothers and sisters and not simply as distant people who might be deserving of my charity. So I think the Christian perspective underpins and deepens the sense of solidarity among the children of God and of that sense that in the poor it is Christ who is knocking on our door so that we may, in a way, be saved from our own selfishness.
My thanks there to Archbishop Vincent Nicholls of Westminster, President of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales.